Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, of course, right now on the panel, we've got Gordy Tallis, Paul Kemp, we've got Hoops, we've got myself, Anthony Maroon, and we've got a brand new segment. It's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
So it's a brand new thing called I Call Bullshit. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how it works.
How many times you had one beer, Maroon?
Oh, mate. You know what they say? One's too many and 15's not enough. But look, I Call Bullshit, it works like this, right? Well, I'll give you an example. I picked up Gordon Tallis from the airport this morning. He got in the car and the first thing he said to me, this year, I am not going to give you any advice on what to do with your money, what sort of car you should drive, what you should feed your pets, what you should do for exercise, your love life, your marriage life. And Gordy, I call bullshit, because by the time we got to bullshit. King George's Road, by the time we got to King George's Road, I had advice on all those things. So that's how it works.
Because you need help.
Paul Kent, I'm going to throw it over to you. I call bullshit.
Oh, look, I'm going to do that on the people riding off the Roosters after one game. I think that a lot of people said, look, they're false favourites for the premiership. I still think the Roosters are a genuine premiership chance. I think yesterday's just a write-off. I think what we tend to forget about the Roosters, the year they won the premiership in 13, they were a slow boil. And I think that's what they will be this year. They will get their act together, and as the season goes on, I think they'll pick up pace, and I think that they'll start to figure out Cooper Cronk. At the moment, they're struggling a little bit. So I just think it's, you know, riding off the Roosters after one game, one loss to the Tigers, is a mistake.
All right.
Bullshit.
Paul's calling bullshit.
Oh, what about that?
Paul's calling
here we
bullshit.
Go. You know what? Well, I'm going to go the opposite, because I wrote the Warriors off, so I'm going to call bullshit on myself. I saw enough. I saw enough of the Warriors, how hard and how fit they look. And there was a special on Fox Sports yesterday with Stephen Kearney and their new trainer, Alex Corvo, and how hard they did a preseason. I don't think the Warriors would have ever trained that hard, to a point where they're saying that they're all scared of Alex. And Alex, I didn't want them scared of me. I just wanted them to respect how they had to get their body into play in the NRL.
Yeah.
Because Corvo's been at Melbourne, Storm and Brisbane and all those clubs. So
He's the secret weapon.
I reckon the Warriors are going to surprise more teams this year on being a tough, gritty side that will hang into the battle for a lot longer than what people think.
Okay.
I call bullshit.
There you go. There's Gordon Tallis. Finally, maybe you callers want to have to say, what do you call bullshit on? 133353. What about you, James Hooper? What are you calling bullshit on?
I'm calling bullshit on Wayne Bennett, Maroon. And look, I've got the utmost respect for Wayne. He's won 7 premierships as a coach, and clearly he's made a hell of an impression on the game of rugby league. But the way that he's tried to blame the media for the handling of the Matt Lodge affair, I just thought it was embarrassing, delusional, and outdated. It's 2018, not 1988, which is the year that the Broncos came into the competition. So I think Wayne's got to get with the times a little bit, and I'm calling bullshit on the fact that he's trying to bowl a little bit of a flipper out the back of the hand and blame the media for the handling of the Matt Lodge affair.
Bullshit!
Oh, wouldn't you have had a nice lush head of hair back in 1988?
I did have a couple of locks back in. I don't know if I'd call it lush.
I had a mullet in 88.
It was a bit of a... What about your... Hang on.
You had a mullet in 88.
Yeah, I had a
mullet. Like a Gary Freeman type of mullet?
Yeah, mullet. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Talk us through...
Long at the back.
Now that we're on the subject of haircuts, talk us through your current haircut, because, mate, it is outstanding. It's the Ivan Drago. What have we walked in and just said, mate, give me the Rocky IV, or what have you said?
It's not a flat top.
What is it?
As a flat...
Give me the
I just went in and said, I went into the Mandy in the makeup at Fox Sports. I said,
because you're retired, and you don't.
Mate, you saw those pineapples flying out of his pocket before. He's got thousands in there.
You know what, Paul? Before, when you went out of the toilet, he said, Hoops, the new guy on the show, said, who cut Paul Kent's hair? Was it open day at the TAFE over the weekend? And he went in and got one of the apprentices.
Hey, mate, if I was going to say it, I'd say it to his face, not like you or
I. All right, I call bullshit.
You're the back door merchant.
He's gone for another week. We're going to take a song, come back and talk more rugby league, more about the Roosters, more about James Tedesco. Oh, it's so good to have the rugby league back. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Lotto Land, Brookvale Oval. 35 degrees in Sydney. We welcome in listeners via Triple M in Brisbane. We welcome you guys in for this afternoon's main game at 4 o'clock. Manly and Parra, and more talk about the old days from Manly and Parra coming up shortly. If you missed the results over the weekend, well, of course, it all kicked on off on Thursday night with the Dragons 20 over the Sharks 16, Roosters 30, Dogs 12, Broncos 24, Cowboys 20, Penrith in the dying stages over Souths 18-14. Tigers in the dying stages over Storm 10-8. And, of course, Warriors making it two in a row with a 20-8 victory over the Titans. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis, my name's Anthony Maroon, and it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
Yes, welcome back to it. So how this all works is I just give the boys a chance to have a look at something through the week that might be topical, it might not, but they think there's a little bit of BS in all of this. I'm going to call BS. It could be a coach, it could be a player, it could be an issue. I try and kick it off with something a little bit lighthearted. I want to call bullshit on the New Zealand Warriors, right? Because all week I've been having a look at what's going on in New Zealand because I was calling a Warriors game. They're talking them up like they've won the grand final. I put the TV on yesterday and the New Zealand commentators, oh, well, they're flooding in here for this big game for the New Zealand Warriors. They only got 14,200 at a stadium that must fit at least 20. I mean, they've won two games. One of them was the Gold Coast Titans, and they're talking it up like the next world champions. Boys, I call bullshit on the New Zealand Warriors.
And I call bullshit. You're just holding your gripe from last week because they beat South.
Hey, why didn't you say when
spot
we had
on,
coach
Gordon.
On the phone? Why didn't you say, right? You sat there mute during that. You are, yeah. Right?
You're good.
You are a white
lost his
you're
voice.
So well,
because we've got a new white Anna.
Oh, look at you.
I'll tell you why, boys.
Mate, sat there saying nothing the whole time. Oh, Steve, you must be really happy with the way the boys
oh,
are
Stevie,
going.
Oh, Stevie. I thought you were interviewing Stevie
mate,
Wonder.
You're just great. I call bullshit on you. You should go do 10 minutes in the sin bin up.
No, I was being a professional, mate. I didn't want to insult the man on national radio.
Well, mate, you're supposed to be a broadcaster.
Would you like to go next, Paul Kent?
Oh, I've got a list today.
Okay.
You've kicked me off.
You reckon Spud Carroll used to come off the back fence at Brookvale? Get ready, Gordon. Here he comes.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Peter Beattie. I'm going to start with the start of the week. Peter Beattie coming out saying he had a brain fade. That's the excuse for not knowing the Cronulla Sharks. The answer was in the question. Are they the Cronulla Sharks, the Cronulla Seagulls, or the Cronulla Hawks? It's not like he had a momentary blankness. The answer was
it wasn't open heart surgery.
I'm not going to cop that. I'm not going to cop Phil Gould giving him an out by saying that maybe he thought when he said Sutherland Shire, he was referring to a sub-district team. That's just very...
Don't blame very, Gus. Gus was trying to look after him a little bit.
He was Gus's trying to look fault. After him, but I don't believe his explanation. I don't believe Todd Greenberg, who came out and congratulated him for owning it. I think that's disgraceful. Yeah. And I'll tell you why this should be a major concern for people. A lot of people say, oh, look, who cares? It's just he didn't know a football team. If he doesn't know who the Cronulla Sharks are, how can we trust him when he's going to educate us on why we need better stadiums or tell us why we can or can't have expansion or why we need to put X amount of money into the grassroots and not Y amount of money?
You're being harsh, Paul.
Thank you, Gordon.
No, mate, you're being very harsh because they were talking about a suburb. If I said Red Hill, Thurungawa, or Parklands.
Townsville.
Not too many people know, and can put the football sides with those suburbs.
He was told, are they the Cronulla Seagulls?
I think you got confused. You got confused by the wording of the question, Paul.
So
I'm not
if
bagging
I said,
your rant. I love the fact that you've called
I'm
it.
Working with morons here, too.
No.
What else
have
you got,
Paul? Confused with
that's
the suburbs.
That's not you.
Boys, just be careful. Okay.
I'm going to call bullshit on Josh Dugan in the Herald yesterday, saying he's going to help Val Holmes become a better number one. He's going to help him become a better fullback. Josh Dugan left the Dragons because he wanted to play fullback and not centre. So to try and sit there and put all this nicely on, that he's now playing centre for the Sharks and happy to play there and going to help the bloke to fill the number one jersey, I don't believe that one bit. I'm going to call bullshit on Wayne Bennett for coming out the other night saying, I'll tell you a story about Wayne Bennett. Years ago, it was a story written about him in the paper. It was a scathing column. It was tremendously unfair, to be honest. Anyway, Wayne's family sitting around reading this this story in the paper, and they were deeply offended by it. Wayne came over, peeked over, had a look at it, had a laugh to himself and walked off. He couldn't have given two rats what the media said back then. Could not have cared.
He wouldn't have survived as long as he had.
But he comes out the other night and he says, you'll never divide us, guys, so keep at it. You know what, Wayne? You're going to get your wish. I'm going to call bullshit.
Here's that audio of that of Wayne Bennett, PK.
Let's listen to it.
All right.
There's no other club in any sport in this country could have pulled together like we did in the last couple of weeks of all the adversity we've been through. So that's what I'm most proud of. You know, you'll never divide us, guys, so stay at it. But our strength is our club and our people. Thanks.
Yeah, bullshit. No one could have pulled it together the last couple of weeks after all the adversity we've been through. It was
did anybody pass away at that club?
Exactly. Anyway. It was criticism for handling their media poorly when Matt Lloyd. Like, fair dinkum.
Anything else, mate?
Yeah, I have got another one.
Beautiful.
I have got another one.
It's Spud, you know, Carroll into Ogre O'Mealy into Malcolm, really?
100%. We're at Lotto Land here today, okay? We're at Lotto Land here today. And as you know, this isn't the Manly Seagulls' fault. This is the idiots at Northern Beaches Council who decided this week, they've had all summer, they decided this week to tear down the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
Are they idiots or what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul, that was fair dinkum.
One of you, man.
Award winning. It's like Frank Costanza on Festivus, a list of grievances. What about you, Hoops?
There's no more bullshit left.
Mate, I'm calling bullshit on a couple of things. So, firstly, I'm going to call it on Wendell Saylor. He said some very scurrilous things about his sleepover at your house during the week.
Yeah,
so, he went down there to the McMansion at Little Bay.
Well, look, Wendell
Saylor. He stayed in the left wing. And he reckons that you've got two cats don't have names.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Ingram?
Well, because I'm such a lovely, warm-hearted person, I just took these cats in and started feeding them. And one of them's a mother, one of them's a daughter. But since then, we've decided on the names Heckle and Jekyll. I know they're not male, but they look like each other. So I'm glad that he's raised all these personal issues of mine on the air in the one-night sleepover he had. Where he says,
reckons you've got a racist dog, too.
He doesn't like anyone. He doesn't like, surprise, surprise, Paul Kent's been over a few times. He doesn't even like Paul Kent. How can anyone not like Paul Kent?
No, I'm calling bullshit on Wendell there. I'm calling bullshit on myself, Maroon, in relation to not only myself, but also all of the media in relation to the Penrith Panthers. So all summer, we heard about the fact that, you know, there was problems at the Panthers. Gus is really coaching the side. And it is a fact that Gus is certainly heavily involved at training sessions, most definitely in terms of the club's attack. But for what they've been able to do over the last couple of weeks, the opening rounds of the competition, well, that silences all of that outside noise. It has been tremendous, those two fight backs. Nathan Cleary, what a player, Paul. Like, to watch him, to watch him at his age as a halfback show the maturity that he has over the opening couple of weeks, it really has been tremendous. So, yeah, I'll call it on. I'll call it on myself there.
I call bullshit.
He already looks better, Nathan Cleary, than he was last year. He looks like he's just out. He's taking the line on a little bit more. I think the fact he's got Maloney there next to him has.
Is that what it is? Why do you think it is?
Because Maloney, I think Maloney is a good voice in his ear. He can talk to him. Maloney can take control of the team at different points.
Yeah.
So he can just say to.
Pick Cleary, his times.
Yeah, pick your times. And it's allowing Cleary to just sit there, put his head up, have a look at the defensive line, figure out where he wants to attack. And he's actually taking the ball and taking it to the line. So I it's magnificent. And I tell you what, we asked at the start of the season who got the better of the deal, Cronulla or Penrith in the Moylan-Maloney swap. I think already we know the answer there.
Panthers. Boys, what about I call bullshit? What issue do you want to call bullshit on? Gordon Tallis live in our Triple M Brisbane studio.
Well, I did have one on Brisbane, and it's a good bullshit. You know, Brisbane got beaten by 34 points in the first game. Ben Hunt played for the Dragons, a guy that they didn't think was good enough to lead them to that victory. You got the Matt Lodge saga. There was poor finishes to their sets. They played players out of position by the name of Sam Thaido. And Wayne Bennett's ability to convince their players that it's the media and we're not going to divide them, I thought it was a really good bullshit. He's the best bullshitter I've ever seen.
Yeah. I call bullshit.
Oh, good. And that's absolutely beautiful.
That's a popular strategy. The best club I've ever seen at circling the wagons is the Bulldogs. Okay.
Yeah.
They're the best. They'll just turn it out. They'll whatever.
Salary cap scandal, Coffs Harbour, whatever it is.
They internalise and then they just project it outwards.
Paul,
Wayne's very good at it.
Paul, I'm not a journalist, right? And you know when you guys go, when you see a reaction, whether it's from Desi, whether it's from Wayne, whether it's from any guy, do you like that? Do you like when you get under their skin when they walk out and say, you guys?
No, Gordon.
Do you take pleasure in that?
No,
of course not,
Gordon. It's not personal. I don't ever take it personal, Gordon. I've been around this game for too long to feel personal about things like that. But, I get my back up a little bit times when I see coaches carry on with the crap they carry on with. And, Wayne trying to turn that around in the media. That's how I used to get on quite well with Wayne. My fallout with Wayne came most notably last year when he just made stuff up about me, which was all, again, a bid to spin the media. Yeah, and he just told a total lie, which he knew he was telling, and he was happy to tell it because it was more important for him to galvanise his players than to respect the friendship that him and I had at that time. So for me, that told me where I was with Wayne, and I'm quite happy no longer talking to Wayne. But coaches do that, and they get, the trick for us is not to get personal. And I've worked with players who've disliked me, and what happens is you get to the end of their career, they generally come over and they've grown up, they've matured a bit. One of the players who hated me more than anyone was Mark Guy. We get on famously now. We get on very, very well.
Didn't he try and decapitate you?
Yeah, he did decapitate. He goes, I vomited for 24 hours. but you know what? But it was never personal with me. It was just about, when you've got a job in the media, even though I'm a columnist and I'm there to write my opinion, you've still got to try and be fair. And you've got to, according to your own beliefs, you've got to be fair. And that's how I see it. That the prism of what I see things is through how I have my values. That doesn't always agree with everybody in the game. And there's nobody in the game that gets on with everybody. That's the other thing that probably the broader public don't realise, that you can't agree with everyone. People are going to dislike what I say because the game is too big and there's too many sides to take to be able to get on with everybody.
Well, that's part of rugby league, isn't it? It's part of the narrative. That's why we love it. It's part of the theatre, Maroon. You asked earlier, Gordon, about whether reporters or journalists got pleasure out of seeing coaches blow up or get personal. No, you don't at all. But it's what it does is it feeds into the narrative. It's part of the game. It's part of the theatre. And then you see somebody like yourself come out today and call bullshit on Wayne.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL live at Brookvale Oval, a warm 35 degrees. Paul Kent, and we've got James Hooper, Gordon Tallister. So this is a segment where the boys can just have their say and just sort of say, well, I don't believe that. I reckon that's rubbish. I reckon that's bunkum. I reckon that's crap. I am calling bullshit on that. And I'm going to kick it off again today. You know what we see in the paper nowadays, boys? We see, wingers that want to play fullback and they're going to leave the club if they don't get moved to fullback. Or we see fullbacks wanting to play 5'8". Or we see players that don't want to play off the bench. And I'm thinking back to the days of the great rugby league players, the Ziggy Niscots, the Jeff Robinsons, the Stan Cutlers, these sort of blokes. They would say, I am playing where the coach tells me he wants me to play. If the coach wants me to play in the front row, I'll play in the front row. If he wants me to play fullback, I'll play fullback. I am calling bullshit on players saying where they want to play.
I call bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good. Now that I got that off my chest, anybody else want to call bullshit?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I call bullshit on the NRL for coming out and say that the decision's wrong between the Tigers and the Broncos game. I've got footage of the guy split at marker. Whether there was other people split, whether it's there's consistencies, I'm not going to argue about, but those markers were not square when they chased. And now they come out and said they got the decision wrong. I feel a little bit sorry for Ashley Klein. I don't think he had a perfect game. But on that decision, they weren't square. And the photo proves that they're standing side by side. So I don't understand that if I made that decision and my boss come out with the footage that he's got, you would want him to support you, a bit like the Australian cricket team, what I was just talking about, how one in all in type of thing. And there's enough pressure on referees, and I think over the start of the season, I've really liked how they've clamped down. And I'm going to call another bullshit on they got to start using the 10 meters, the 10 minutes in the sin bin, inside the 20, no matter what time, whether it's the first 30 seconds or the last 30 seconds of the game, send them to the bin. It's as simple as that. And you know what? They will stop straight away.
All right. I call bullshit.
Paul Kent, James Hooper. Paul, would you like to call bullshit on something?
Oh, look, that, yeah, where is my list?
It was good last week.
You dropped it earlier. It looked long.
It was like a telephone book. Look, no, I'm not going to go too crazy today. I want to call bullshit on Peter Beattie, the Australian Rugby League chairman, who came out this week and gave me this, gave us all this sob story about rugby league in Asia and how we want Asian Australians to play the game and we want them, and it's up to you to come and play the game. It showed me a politician at full throttle. He clearly has no plan whatsoever. There's no strategy within the NRL, the ARL, whichever way you want to cut the orange, or what they're going to do about Asia. Now, I know a lot of people sit there and go, what Asia? Hang on a second. Last year, the AFL went to Asia, and what did they do over there? Everybody said, oh, look at those morons, as if they're ever going to start an Asian league, AFL league in China. The whole strategy, it shows you how forward-thinking the NRL, the AFL is compared to the NRL, is the whole strategy of going over there. It's not because they want to begin an AFL league in China. It's because they want to say to all the people who are currently here in China, who don't really from China, who currently who don't have a football code to follow, wear your code. Mm. Because every year we increasingly take Asians in from China and the rest of Asia, and we have no clear strategy. The NRL's got no strategy. They've got no idea where they're going to go. Instead, we're going to play a game in Denver where players have got to go over there. We're going to go over. We're going to play a test between England and New Zealand. There's no strategy around the game beyond that to build the game in America. Where is the infrastructure? Where is, okay, what's the follow-on plan?
So, Paul, if the Chinese come out here and played a game of ping pong when you went over there, would you go watch a game? That was just your analogy. Just
no, that. No, it wasn't, Gordon. No, it wasn't, Gordon.
Yeah, because Australia's gone there and played their game. If they come and play,
what I'm saying, Gordon, is every year,
they got ping pong in most of the pubs
every
over
year,
there,
every year, tens, careful, boys. It is only 2 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What I'm saying, Gordon, is there is a strategy because every year Australia takes tens, if not hundreds of thousands of immigrants from Asia to come and live here in Australia. Now, they come here, they don't know what rugby league is, they don't know what rugby union is, they don't know what AFL is. So why, by the AFL going and playing in China, where their distant cousins might be watching the game and on the next phone call say, I saw that game that you from your... It tells them it's okay to follow the game here. It's not to try and win the people in China. It's to try and win the Chinese people who are here. We're not there. Anyway, I want to get on. As far as, I want to also talk about
just
Jason King.
Just another bullshit, mate.
Okay. Can I talk about Jason King, what he said to, in reference to... See, we're all gone politically correct and we squib it and we won't talk to the issue. Jason King came out after Ricky's rant last night and he said... There's no guessing among the referees. They're very clear how to officiate the game. Clearly, they're not perfect, but they have a tough job and overall are doing it well. He doesn't actually answer the charge. Now, the rules in the book say if you attack the outside shoulder, it is a shepherd.
Yes.
Okay? If you attack the inside obstruction. Yeah. If you attack the inside shoulder, it's okay. Last night was an inside shoulder.
I reckon it was chest on. I reckon it was chest on.
It wasn't chest on. I'll call bullshit on you saying chest on. It's
not chest on. I
reckon
it was chest on.
If it was chest on, they would have hit forwards. Their forwards would have whacked into each other.
One side of the head was against the Warriors the opportunity.
Did you think it was an obstruction or not, Paul? Did
you
think it was an obstruction?
It wasn't an obstruction.
You can drill down on the letter of the law, right? And you can...
The ball player can't disappear. So because the ball player...
He wasn't a ball player. He was a decoy runner.
Because the ball player can't disappear, we came up with an interpretation in the rule that if it's outside shoulder, it's obstruction. If it's inside shoulder, it's okay. Because we also have to account for poor reads in defence.
I get that.
Okay. So therefore you agree. Thank you.
No. He denies the Warriors the opportunity to make the tackle. He hits him right on the chest.
He read the play wrong.
He read him right on the chest.